Good morning. How are we all doing? You okay? Wide awake? Jolly good. Get my glasses on so I can read what I'm meant to be saying. That was a good start. So, yeah. Okay. So, this morning we're following on in our series on looking at resurrection people. Last week Louise was talking about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and this week I've got the unusual title of Resurrection Bodies. It's going to be an interesting talk, I hope. And we'll see how it goes. You can tell me later. Thank you, Steph, for the beautiful reading. It was great to have someone reading that out for me. It's really good. Thank you. So, resurrection bodies. Last time we went, I talked about, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I talked about a holiday Ali and I had in Scotland. Ali booked a place that was really remote, in the middle of nowhere, and it rained all week. We had no Wi-Fi, no 4G, we had no phone signal, we had no TV signal. And when we got there, I remember talking about this and saying I felt so freaked out and disconnected from the world. So about 2.5-3 years ago, Ali and I were talking about going on a trip to the island of Islay, which is a lovely island on the west coast of Scotland. And it has a few whiskey distilleries, some of you might know, and I do like a wee dram. Not too much, just a wee dram. So we're planning to go with our good friends, Sam and Mark, who are here this morning with our two dogs. We planned this 2.5 years ago, got cancelled twice, but finally we got to go at Easter this year. And Ali said, I'm going if you let me choose where we're going. And I thought, uh-oh. So I said, okay, as long as we've got Wi-Fi and we're not too remote. So let's see if this works. So you can see the picture there. This is the picture of the island of Islay. We were staying on the very southwest corner, on a little peninsula called the O, where that big cross is. That's where we were staying. The red lines are the roads. The other lines are kind of dirt tracks, basically. So we were 20 minutes up a dirt track in the middle of nowhere. We did have Wi-Fi, so that was good. That was good. And when I went on holiday, I don't know about you, but I like to be able to walk somewhere. I'd walk to a shop or something to buy something. And so I thought, on my way up there, I was Googling, are there any shops nearby? Because it looks pretty remote. I know we've got Wi-Fi, we've got connections. Is there any shops anywhere? And it said there's a shop called the Shop in the Box. It was literally a few hundred yards from where we were staying. I thought, great, there's a shop I can walk to and go and buy something, a newspaper or whatever it might be. So after watching church on the Sunday morning, which was really great, be able to join in with you from the island of Islay, it was fantastic. We went for a walk after the rain had stopped, and we got to find this little shop. And this is the shop in the box. It literally was what it says on the tin. It was a red telephone box, and it sold gifts and cards and tea towels, memorabilia, and like an honesty box. That you put your money in, and you could go and get gifts from there. But the picture on the right is the telephone box with Ali and our dog Otis by that box. So it literally does what it says on the tin. It was a shop in a box. Now, it got me thinking, so many shops and stores, they actually don't sell what they say they sell. So I'll give you an example. Apple store, that's a picture of the Apple logo. Have you ever tried buying fruit in an Apple store? Ever tried buying fruit in an Apple store? Secondly, Amazon. Have you tried buying rainforest trees or anything from Amazon? In fact, Amazon started out selling books, which is basically destroying the Amazon. So again, it's another place that you can't buy what you think you're going to be able to buy. And then another one, this is where it leads into my real talk properly, the body shop. Have you ever tried buying a body from the body shop? Have you ever tried buying body parts from the body shop? You can't buy anything to do with your body from the body shop, apart from creams and ointments, apparently, and all that kind of stuff. So it got me thinking, what kind of body would you buy if you had a choice? What kind of body would you buy? I guess most of us at some point want to change our bodies in some way. Some of us think we're either too short or too tall, too thin, too wide. Got the wrong colour hair, maybe not enough hair anymore. Especially as we get older, we start to get more aches and pains and bits and pieces start to drop off. We start wishing for a new body, don't we? One that looks a bit better or works a bit better Many of us often wish we were younger again, we were fitter, we were faster, smarter, more good-looking. Even when we're younger, we probably wanted to change things. I remember when I was a teenager, I was heavily into Duran Duran, and I really wanted to be a member of Duran Duran. So I had big permed hair, I had blonde streaks in the front of my hair, a lot more hair then than I do now. I did look for pictures, unfortunately, I couldn't find any, so that's a bit of a shame for you. It's interesting to know, isn't it, how people want to change their bodies in some way. And I started to look into this. The top four things that people want to change about their bodies, this is from the United States in 2020, and it's not the kind of things that you think. It's something we kind of talk about in church. So the first one was rhinoplasty, which is basically nose reshaping. In 2020, 352,000 people in America had effectively had a nose job. Eyelid surgery, which is basically moving bags under your eyes. I could do a bit of that sometimes. 325,000 people. Facelift, lifting your face, 234,000 people. And number four, liposuction, removing excess fat from your body. 211,000 people had that surgery in 2020. Now Jesus, in our story this morning, promises us all a new resurrection body. Now what does that mean? I'm going to do a reading here from Lazarus. I can read it. Death of Lazarus, John 11, verse 22. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, Lord, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never not die. Do you believe this? It's a question to all of us this morning. Do we believe this? Martha believed there was a resurrection at the last day. Resurrection is a misunderstood word. It's easy to think the resurrection means that Jesus was a spirit or a ghost. And in our reading this morning, which Stephanie read out, he made it clear he wasn't a ghost. He was a real person. The Jews believed in resurrection, like Martha. They took the view at the end of time that God would raise them again in physical, bodily form. Not just a spirit, not a ghost, but a new body resurrected. Tom Wright writes this. Everybody knew about ghosts, spirits, visions, hallucinations, and so on. Most people in the ancient world believed in some things. They were quite clear, this is the Jews, that wasn't what they meant by resurrection. Resurrection meant bodies. So, Jesus had a physical transformed resurrection body. He appeared to the disciples. They see the risen Jesus. First of all, they think he's a ghost. But he says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. In our reading, we see that Jesus proves that he has flesh and bones. He has the marks in his hands and his feet. He can eat fish, but he's no ghost. He's physical. He's real. What was his body really like? It was a physical body because he said, behold my hands and feet. It could be touched and felt. It could enter closed rooms without opening doors, and that's a quite cool thing to have in as one of your kind of special abilities. It's like a marvel, isn't it? It could disappear when he wanted to. He did not seem to need rest, because it says in the Bible he appeared to many, many people over the period of 40 days. And he could still eat. I'm not sure whether he needed to, but we said in the story he ate some fish. Jesus was showing us the future now. As we see in Martha's words, she believed that resurrection was going to happen at the end of time. But Jesus drags God's future into the now. He pulls God's promised new creation into the very present. He shows us what our own resurrection bodies and the resurrection of all creation is going to look like. Physical, but transformed. Real, but this time imperishable. Created, but eternal. He was the first fruits of what to come, what was to come. That was in the second reading from Corinthians. Paul describes the risen Jesus in this reading as the first fruits. It's like the very early apples on the tree, the blossom in spring, showing there's something good to come, promising us that good things are on their way, even though it doesn't seem good at the moment. So many things in the Bible talk about the now and the to come. Jesus said the kingdom of God is here, and yet there's also talk of us inheriting the kingdom, of the kingdom being a future thing when Jesus returns. So it is with resurrection. His resurrection is now. He's alive now, but it points to us having a glorious resurrection at the end of time. It's important, it's real, and it has significance for us. We live in this resurrection life now because he is alive right now. In 1 Corinthians 15, from what was read by Stephanie before, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. The resurrection is important. Without it, our preaching is empty. I might as well just sit down and stop talking. Our faith is empty. We're still stuck in our sins. When we die, we are lost forever, and we as Christians are to be pitied. That's not a good state of affairs, but the truth is, Jesus did rise again. His resurrection is real. He showed it by demonstrating when he appeared to the disciples in our first reading. And at the end of time, we will all get new resurrection bodies like his. There's a quote here from Pope Francis. We proclaim the resurrection of Christ when his light illuminates the dark moments of our existence, and we are able to share it with others. In the dark times, we know there is hope. There is something more. There's something more coming. A promised resurrection, a new life. And at the moment, it seems there are darkness in our world. But Pope Francis says, we proclaim this resurrection when we let his light come into those dark places, when we share his light with others, when we're able to give people hope. It's a privilege to let people know that there is hope. There is more than this world. Revelation 21, verse 3 to 4 says this. This is talking about our new and the new heaven and the new earth. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. This is what we've got to look forward to. An eternity with God, new resurrection bodies, no more pain, no more death. And finally, this question was, well, as we start preparing this, this question bugged me. Not bugged me, but kind of challenged me. Why did Jesus' resurrection body still have scars? Surely, Surely it would be perfect. Surely if God was raising Jesus from the dead, it would be a perfect body. But it was the same body in which he died. Not only restored to life, but it was changed and transformed. It was still human, but now glorified. Further on in Corinthians, it talks about what was sown perishable was raised imperishable. It couldn't perish again. His natural body, which died at Calvary, was raised and transformed into a spiritual body, a new body. And we would have thought, I would have thought, well, surely there would be no scars. It would be perfect, the perfect body. So I started me thinking, why did his body have scars? I don't know if you've ever thought about this. So here's some suggestions I've got. It might make us think. It reminds us as to how we get to heaven. We don't get to heaven by good works. We get to heaven through those scars. The scars that he suffered and died on the cross. It shows that his suffering was real. It wasn't imaginary, it wasn't pretend, it wasn't a story. It was perfectly and truly real. Thirdly, suffering defines his nature. He came to die. He was the servant king who came to die in our place to our fallen world so that we may have life and be reconciled to God. That was part of his nature. Fourthly, it shows he defeated death. His scars are healed wounds. They forever tell us there's the final victory in him. Fifthly, it shows that he is still the Lamb. He will never stop being the Lamb. He will never stop being our Savior. A few months ago, I did a talk in the evening service, and we played an old song by DC Talk about being in the light. Some of you may remember that. One of the lines in that song goes, "I'm still in need of a Savior." I don't know about you, but every day, every week, we don't stop needing Jesus. We don't stop needing a Savior. We need him every single day. And finally, we should never forget the Lamb who was slain. We should never, ever forget the Lamb who was slain. Finally, interestingly, I was looking up what the word for Jesus is in sign language. We can see that on the screen. The word for Jesus in sign language is to touch the palm of your hand with your middle finger and the same with the other one. That's the sign language for Jesus, that we remember he is the one who has scars. I thought that was quite significant. That's the word for Jesus in sign language. The book of Revelation mentions Jesus as the Lamb 28 times. So these scars, they're not a defect, but for those of us who have been saved by those scars, who have been redeemed and indeed washed by the blood that came out of those wounds, they've got a beauty and a glory all of their own. So our scarred Savior forever sits with his Father on the throne of the universe, and he is forever to be worshipped, forever and ever. And we will get to do that for eternity in our resurrection bodies. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your Son Jesus, the Lamb who died. Lord, I pray you give us a greater understanding of his sacrifice. I pray you help us to see those scars, to never forget what price he paid, and to become more in love with the Lamb who was slain. For those of us who are going through difficult times at present, give us hope for the future. Help us to hope again, to see a future, just to look forward to our own resurrection. But also, Lord, will you give us strength to live in your resurrection power today? We look forward, Jesus, to spending eternity in our resurrection bodies with you. No more sickness, no more pain, and no more death. Amen. Final slide. Oops, can I go back? Final slide. From Revelation 5, verse 11 and 12. Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels and living creatures and elders encircling the throne. And their number was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Let's live in the resurrection power of the Lamb who was slain for us, but who rose again, and who we will get to be with for eternity. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. That's a great word, isn't it?